You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? And Wayne, what's the scripture reading today? 2 Timothy 1:8-10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's nice to be in the pulpit this morning. And the last time I was in a pulpit, it was right down by the other end of the earth, Antarctica, just above there, New Zealand. It's not too far away from the South Pole. And at times it feels like it, because it can be quite cold. And but nonetheless, fresh and crisp. And so it's quite different to be here this morning and be sort of thinking geographically about where you are. But I can thank God that we are together this morning in a church where the Word of God is upheld and right division is taught, and we're here because of those reasons. And so on behalf of the family, I'll just take this opportunity to thank you for your kindness to us so far and friendliness. We've really enjoyed the fellowship. I've got up here a whiteboard and the title, Health. Now, isn't that a catchy title? Usually I don't preach a topic. Normally what I like to do is come to a book of the Bible and do exposition and pretty well stay with the context of a book of the Bible. But since I'm filling in a one-off, I think it's probably best that I take a topic. And so my topic here is health. And you look at the world around us, and you've got to say health is very topical. I mean, it's got to be pretty high on the agenda of a lot of people. And whether you like it or not, we're all affected by health. You could tell from my voice that's not quite the normal voice, and that's because I was sick yesterday with bad cold, and I'm pretty well over it now, but I've still got the remnants of the voice. And health is there with us. And as Christians, you know, we realize that this body is only a temporal thing, and that God is going to give us a new body one day in the resurrection, and we're looking forward to that. But we don't want to abuse this body. We want it to last as long as we can so we can do a great work on this earth while we're here. You know, we don't want to let it fall away. But my topic is not so much about the health of this body, but rather the health, the spiritual health of us in the spirit today, and what we can do to build up that spiritual health. And really, you'll be surprised what the Apostle Paul has to say about this matter. There's a Greek word, and I won't get you to pronounce it, but it's hugiaino, hugiaino. And that basically means, you know, to be sound, and to be healthy, and to be whole. If you just find this passage with me, it's in the book of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 31. This is what Jesus says. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. Whole. Essentially healthy. They need not a physician. But they that are sick. And he was talking very much about the real body, the physical body. But let me spiritualize this slightly and say that it must be true today that spiritually there's a lot of sickness around. And people attempting to do things on the wrong foundation amongst religious people doing this. We see it in New Zealand, we see it in Australia, we see it in Europe, we see it here in America. It's all over. It's all over. If we go to Luke 15 and verse 27, we'll find a very simple expression, but one which we use quite commonly. Luke 15, verse 27. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Safe and sound. That's an expression. The King James language comes into our English language all over the place. A drop in the bucket. Safe and sound. What does it safe and sound mean? Well, safe, you know what that is, and sound means healthy, essentially. The person is safe and is healthy. Safe and sound. When you come to Paul, you find that he uses this word eight times. Paul is big on this idea of health. And I'll take you to a passage in 1 Timothy, chapter number 1, and verse number 10. It says this, For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And you see the immediate contrast to healthy doctrine in terms of the practices of people. It's very clear, isn't it? It's a very clear statement. Healthy doctrine, that's healthy teaching, as opposed to the practices which come with bad teaching. Well, those things are fairly obvious, aren't they? These bad things that are mentioned here. Liars and men stealers and perjured persons. All these things. We understand that. But you know, it goes a lot deeper than that. If you go a little bit further to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, it says this, If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Notice it says wholesome words. Wholesome. There it is. Healthy words. You know, that's the great thing about the Bible, is that there is a resource of health already for you that you can tap into. But mind my words, you have to be careful to make sure you get the right food in the right season. Isn't that true? Why, when you get a little baby, you don't throw it a chunk of meat, do you? I mean, you don't get a big hunk of red meat and say, here you go, chew on that. That's not going to work. There's a time for meat, but there's a time also for milk. There's the time for the soft foods for the little baby to grow. But there's a season for everything, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says. And so it is, and I like to write up here just a timeline of things. I like to do this very commonly. I would write out a timeline similar to this. So basically what you've got here is some kind of catastrophe that has taken place in time past. What time has occurred, we don't know. But some kind of overthrow occurred back in Earth's history, which involved Satan. And time moved through. And that time is recorded in various episodes in the Old Testament. And the prophets, they talked about the coming of the Messiah. And so he came. And he died. And so that's quite an obvious thing to put there in reference to his death. Then there was a movement of more time. And in that time, there were various events that occurred. For example, in Acts chapter 2, there was the pouring out of the Spirit of God. If you look at the events as they go across here, and you find, for example, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you find that they are making reference about the events of the cross, and saying, and recording the words of Christ saying things like this. You can speak a word against the Son and it will be forgiven, man. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God, it shall not be forgiven, man, neither in this world nor in that which is to come.
So on the cross of Calvary, when Israel rejected Jesus and Jesus was there and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, the Father heard. The Father heard. It was prophesied. And Jesus said, you know, when you can speak a word against the Son, it shall be forgiven you. So as time went by, the Spirit came in all the fullness. So they rejected the Son. Then the witness of the Spirit came. And a great evidential set of miracles was given, and people went out in the power of God, especially apostles, but not only apostles, went out with tremendous powers, signs, and wonders were being performed. Now bear in mind what Christ said about this witness. If they would blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it would not be forgiven them. As time would go on, we find that a certain man known as the Apostle Paul, it's a Hebrew name, Saul. I like to write his name in a special kind of way, because those of you here who are scientific will appreciate this and remember. I like to write it like this, and I can't stop you, so don't think I'm making a mistake. Does anybody know why I might want to write a name in that form? Well, you see, AU is on the periodic table of elements, and it's the symbol for gold, aurum. AU. And when you find Paul, you strike gold. You strike gold. And here, the Apostle Paul was raised. And he goes out in the power of the Spirit of God, and he takes the revelation of who Jesus was and special other revelations that were given to him about the gospel, and he preaches it going to the Jew first. Always. The Jew first. Well, why should this be? Well, because the Spirit was working and still trying to bring Israel to repentance. Why, even his famous book, the book of Romans. What do you find? I love this passage, don't you? Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first. To the Jew first. Okay, so we understand that something's going on here with Paul. We're talking about health now. And health involves getting the right spiritual food at the right time. Well, time goes by and various things happen. You find that Paul goes to a synagogue of the Jews and he proclaims that Jesus is Messiah and he proclaims the gospel. And what do the Jews do? They throw dust up on him. Can you imagine seeing this? People doing this sort of thing. It seems so strange to us, doesn't it? But in those times, that's how they would register their absolute disgust at something. We will not have this. Throw dust up in the air, rip open your clothes. And they would do this. And it would happen that as you go through the book of Acts, I don't think this too far, but I won't have a room, you find that Israel, synagogue after synagogue after synagogue, reject this message. I'll just look at a passage. Come with me to Romans chapter 11, and we'll just rehearse this. Now, as I said, I don't normally preach like this. I normally like to stick with a book and stay there, but I think this is reasonably instructive. And in Romans chapter number 11, it says this. Now, if I get a bit sort of excited here, you'll get used to it, right? You'll have to. Okay, so Romans 11 is a great passage because it talks about a particular graft. And this graft is a very unusual graft. And I'll point out the reasons why it's unusual. Have a look at Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Okay, this is a very, very interesting passage. And I always point this out. And I'll put a circle around the verse immediately after it for a good reason. Look at Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles.
What are Gentiles? Well, these are the non-Jewish peoples of the world. They are, in fact, the nations. So, I speak to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Okay, so he magnifies his office. Now, he says he's the apostle of the Gentiles. Oh, okay. So, everything that happens here in this period is going to be for us today. Is that right? You think that would be the case? Well, look at the next verse. And here's the big key. He says, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Oh, now this is a pretty big key. I mean, this is a pretty big key to the understanding of the book. And that is that, sure, he was the apostle of the Gentiles here, but the whole function and purpose of going to the Gentiles was in relationship to Israel. It was to provoke Israel. So the ministry that's going on here, as great and as necessary as it was to reach Israel. The Gentiles were there, sure, but the function was to get at Israel, to provoke Israel. And how would this provocation take place? Well, you just keep on reading a little bit here. And it goes across down here to verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches are broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Do you notice here in verse 24, it says this, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in their own olive tree? Well, here's promise of future. So there's a promise that the fact that the olive tree is unhealthy and the branches are falling away, that one day there will be a bringing back of these people. But do you notice that the graft that's pictured here, the graft that's pictured, is one where you've got a lot of branches and stuff stuck on the bottom. It's broken off. But a really different color. You've got this wild olive, which is grafted in. It says, contrary to nature. Contrary to nature. Wild. Well, let's think about this. When you do a graft, how do you do it? Well, we're sort of involved a little bit with this in our 10-acre block that we were living in New Zealand. And my brother was putting down citrus trees. And the way these citrus trees work is you have a stalk which is wild. And it's very, very strong and wild. And then onto that wild stalk, you put on a fairly tender, very, very carefully made stem, which has the beautiful orange or whatever you're after. But the stalk itself is this wild thing, man. It's as wild as you can imagine. I mean, if you cut it down, sometimes it happens. You might get a tree that sort of wastes away. If you cut it down, that stalk won't die. You leave it for a couple of months, and up it comes, this tangly, thorny thing that comes up. It's just wild and strong as anything. But you notice, in this particular case, this graft is the other way around. You have a very tender, a very, very good tree in other respects. And onto that comes this wild set around. It's quite different. Contrary to nature,
is put in here. Why would you do such a thing? Well, it so happens that this is the thing you can do sometimes with trees. If you do this, it somehow sets up some sort of chemical reaction in the tree and provokes the tree. And sometimes it will result in fruit. Fruit will come sometimes when you do this. It provokes the thing in the sap. And that was the whole function of these Gentiles here being grafted in, was to provoke the good olive, which unfortunately was in a state of rejecting the truth of Messiah. Branches were being broken. We can find that these branches are broken off in the book of Acts. You can find the various synagogues that rejected this message.
Well, that's what's going on. So we're talking about health, and we're interested in knowing, well, what food should we eat? Should it be deep fried stuff? Should it be nice vegetables and fish steamed? Should we just go with taste? Or do you think in this particular case we should say, well, wait a minute, should we find out what God has to say to us? I mean, something happens here, right? The book of Acts comes to an end. Something happens. Acts 28:28.
You know, a lady in our fellowship just loves numbers. And she said to me one day, she came to me, have you looked at these numbers here? 28, 28, 4 sevens, 4 sevens. Well, that's 8 sevens, isn't it? 7 is the number of completion, and 8 is the number of a new beginning, isn't it? A perfect new beginning. A perfect new beginning occurs at the end of the book of Acts. And what happens here is something was revealed to Paul. Paul, yes, he's gold. He is most definitely gold. But if you want to get the food that's going to make you healthy, what you've got to do is you've got to come to the man who was given the revelation at the right season. We need to know what food we eat. We need to understand what God has for us.
So I want you to go to the book of 2 Timothy. And I know you've been studying the book of 2 Timothy with Derek, so this should be reasonably familiar to you. And if you look at the first chapter, 2 Timothy, now what I often do is, you know, it starts off reasonably logical like this, and then I start, you know, embellishing. And so by the time we've finished, it just becomes a mass of tangled words and stuff. Okay, 2 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Timothy.
Now, one of the things I've started to do in my reading of the Bible is to look at names. Because I found that even the names that appear in God's Word, remarkably, their meaning coincides with the doctrine that's being taught. There's a number of names that come up here, and you'll see that that is the case. And Timothy, you can see there is this word, Greek word, time. And there is here, this part here comes from a word which you probably familiar with, theos, God, honor God.
And so it goes on, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And he goes on and he talks about the fact of this man Timothy and how he had great faith that began first in the grandmother Lois and then came through the mother into him. But just prior to that, in verse 3, he says this, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Notice he says, I serve from my forefathers. I serve. Now, servitude involves works, whom I serve from my forefathers. Now, wait a minute. The forefathers that Paul would be referring to would be Jewish forefathers. He was a Jew, the tribe of Benjamin. Well, what kind of servitude do you think that the forefathers would endorse? Well, you see, they would endorse things that were quite different to what Paul was actually preaching here. So when he says here, whom I serve from my forefathers, you can see the quite clear and distinct possibility that what he's talking about is away from my forefathers. That he is serving God now differently from the forefathers, and he's doing so in pure conscience. How can he be doing this in pure conscience? Well, he can be doing this in pure conscience because he had received a tremendous revelation from God. And when you go down a little bit further, and you see in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the unfalsified faith that is in thee, that's in Timothy, you can see a difference. You've got faith and you've got servitude. The faith that Timothy had, it continued on through from the grandmother right through to the mother and to him. And as you go down, you read some really interesting things. But I want you to look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Here is a healthy mind. Now, I'll get a bit of context to this by reading verse 6, but just first, I want you to see this verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, he's talking about the spirit of fear, but of power. So he means the spirit of power, right? Look at it again. He says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit which is of power, right? He's talking about the spirit here. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. That is what God has given to us. That's what he's given us. But you say, oh, but we don't see that evidenced in lives of Christians today. Yeah, but that's not because God gave them the spirit which they are evidencing in their lives, but rather from the time that they know Christ, from the time that they received him, this love was there. This sound mind was there. And then it's been taken away. It says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Ooh! Nor of me his prisoner. Now there's something coming up here. In understanding sound doctrine, in understanding healthy doctrine, it comes that you must realize that Paul the prisoner has something specific to say to us. Something very healthy that we need to know about. He says this, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. Now when it says before the world began, it means before age times. Something was made. Ages were made. The worlds were framed by the word of God. In the book of Hebrews it says this. The world. That's the ages. And the ages were made by Jesus Christ. Now the doctrine that Paul talks about goes back before these age times, before these ages. So therefore, in these ages, should it be a surprise to you, you won't find this teaching, this healthy teaching? You won't find it. It was hid, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. So the teaching that Paul gives us here as the prisoner, it relates to a time before age time, before this overthrow, as Ephesians says.
and was kept secret, and at just the right time it was released. God was giving out all of his teaching at the right time. He also reserved for us something that had been hid from the ages, that was discussed and was concealed before these age times. Just the right time. And God's like that, isn't he? It should be no surprise to you that God would be like that. That he would just keep things. I mean, God is a man of war, and there's a battle going on. Do you let your secrets out to the opposing team? Don't think many coaches are going to want to, you know, give the game plans away to the opposing coach, right? There's certain game plans you want to keep secret. And so God has too. In war, that's going to be important. And he released these game plans just as I told you. If you want healthy doctrine, you need to get with the program. You need to understand that something has happened. There has been a pretty big rift. Wouldn't you agree that if this doctrine relates to you first, and relates to the new covenant and all the promises and so on that were related to Israel, and then some sort of division occurs there, some new age begins there, then there must be some kind of tremendous breakage here. There must be some sort of getting with it. If you move from this age to this age, there must be some sort of you have to speak. You need help. You need to be adjusted. Right? You need to be adjusted. Now these people back then needed to be adjusted. And you find that with Timothy.
You find that with Timothy. Just go back here. Look what he says. This is quite an interesting passage. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Hey!
Paul knew Timothy back here, didn't he? Well, he laid hands on him and gave him some gifts. And it's specifically here. And now what does Paul say to him? Stir it up. You've got to stir it. You've got to stir it. It's not automatic. You have to stir it up. Why? Just look at this.
This is really quite an interesting thing. Go back to 1 Timothy 1:18. He says this: "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Prophecies which went on him, right? Look at this. Have a look at another one. Chapter 4, verse 14. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." This man, Timothy, has just come out of an economy. An economy. He's coming out of an economy into a new economy. It's not too healthy to just assume that how things run under one economy is going to be the same as it does in a new one. And so now, rather than things being automatic, Paul tells Timothy to stir things up. Stir things up.
In fact, a little bit later on, he talks about, you know, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. All these things are there as pointers to the fact that things have changed. Things have changed now. So, just go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, and you'll notice, as you read down further, it says in verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words." Sound words. Healthy words. Now, I want you to notice something else.
He does not just say, "Hold fast sound words." He says, "The form of sound words." The word "form" means pattern. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. The pattern. the pattern of sound words. You see, what right division does for you is it enables you not only to get down to the particulars, but to see the form, the pattern of sound words. And that pattern enables you to put everything into a right context. The pattern. No other preaching will do it. Let me show you something else, because I'm running out of time here, aren't I?
But never mind, you can be here till about 2 o'clock a day, can't you? No, okay. Well, have a look over here at our famous passage, 2 Timothy 2, where you know the big famous passage of verse 15. That's repeated oft. But what I want you to do is I want you to see around this passage, verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So you've got subversion of the hearers, you've got no profit, and you've got these words. Now look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. And it says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Two people. Two examples here. Hymenaeus, as pertains to marriage, that's what the word means, Hymenaeus, and Philetus, beloved. And what this Hymenaeus is, he's all about bringing people to himself. And you go back to 1 Timothy, that's what he does. And then Paul delivers him to Satan because of his disobedience. And has he learnt? No, he's reappeared. And what has he got? He's got a mate with him, Philetus. Now what's right in the middle between these? Verse 15. On the one hand, you've got all this stuff to do with striving not about words, and to no profit, subversion, and you've got on the other side of it, vain babblings, all these things. Right in the middle, as the antidote, is what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want the antidote to all the bad stuff that you see, if you want to hold forth the pattern of sound words, and you want to be spiritually healthy, then what you've got to do is you've got to rightly divide the word truth. That's the antidote. You know? I see all these people lining up at Walmart. Anti-flu vaccines and all that sort of stuff. You know? What we want, the antidote, what we want spiritually is not that anti-flu vaccine. What we want is right division. And understand that the Apostle Paul was given a secret message, given to him at just the right time, passes it on to us. And we've got to see that, my friends, just because you've got Paul's name there doesn't tell you that everything that he says is true. Why? Because you can see, during this time here, he was going to the Jew first. He was doing certain things with the Gentiles to provoke Israel. Now, how's this going? You remember the books he's writing around? Let's see, wasn't there Romans? You've got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You've got Galatians. You've got 1st and 2nd, I won't put them in order, Thessalonians. And I'm going to put Hebrews here because I don't believe Paul wrote it. Listen, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 epistles. 7. That's complete. I wonder how many post-Acts epistles you'll find written by the Apostle Paul. Well, let's see if we can remember. Let's see, we've got Ephesians, we've got Philippians, Colossians, we've got 1st and 2nd Timothy, we've got Titus, we've got Philemon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7. Oh, that's just by chance, isn't it? 7. Yes, there was a ministry of reconciliation with Jew first. These books will discuss that because they fit into the book of Acts. These books will tell us about our meal. What's ours today? We want to understand what God has for us. If we want to be healthy, man,
wasn't so long ago I used to wake up early in the morning.
You know, he lived in Auckland, New Zealand, Kiwi, where the little town was.
In the mornings, in the summer, you'd get up, and along the roadside there are these little red roses. And if you get up early enough and the sun just begins to hit them, they pop open and this fragrance comes out. When I was running like that early in the morning, I felt like I was on top of the world, man. Have you ever felt that? Recently, it's hard as you get a bit older to feel that feeling of life and vigor. You know what? That's what I'm doing. I have not got over this. This was kept away from me by preachers. They would not tell me this. They would not give me the form of sound words. And I was unhealthy spiritually. Unhealthy. Unable to do an effective work. Unable to give an answer to a person that would ask for the hope that was in me. The hope. No. I couldn't give them a clear explanation of, I talked about heaven, I talked about this and that and the other. Talk about all sorts of things. But there was no pattern of sound words. Health is what we want. And health is what we find when we rightly divide the word of truth. I had a whole lot of other things to do. But, you know, that's the way it works. It's better just to cut a path through it and get the job done. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee this morning for this message about right division. We thank Thee, our Father, we can learn that there's so much in the Scriptures. We pray, Lord, for each person here that today they would find this uplifting, useful in their lives, and that we all together would become more and more spiritually healthy. We thank Thee for Thy Word, which has been preserved and given to us. We can read it, understand it. We don't need any special commentary to be given to us. We've got Thy Word, and we only need to rightly divide it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.